Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to another wonderful episode of Love Letters Live, where we so happily present each week a guest with a compelling personal story to tell and a love letter to follow. And Teresa and I, as the Love Letter Squad, know really for sure that within every life experience, whether it's tragic or funny or irritating or almost invisible, there are the seeds of a love letter to someone. Someone's touched your life. Someone's made a difference. And there should be someone who you honor with a love letter. That is a letter of appreciation. And I remember, I'm a grateful. And we say also, what is the point of taking all that gratitude and love to the grave? It doesn't do any good. Write it, stamp it, and mail it to someone and make somebody else's life richer as well as your own.
And we also add, you probably have more than one love letter in your life. In fact, every week, every day, whatever it takes.
Thank you. And that is so true, Teresa. We think that taking any moment of gratitude and just running for the pen and paper and jotting it down and mailing it is a wonderful habit and is good for the writer, too, because we get to bathe in the positive regularly. So I want to go to our guest today, Kat Tanzi, who is an author, a teacher, and a radio talk show host. And her radio program is called Finding Magic in Midlife. And Kat, I know you believe in the power of a well-told tale to teach while it entertains. And they say that I think they say that education is something like 90% entertainment, and it's so true. And I'm glad you see that yourself a little bit as a clown, because that is what does the entertaining. So let me go to you and ask you to tell your well-told tale of your life and the difficult parts that you came through to be the powerhouse that you are today.
Well, first of all, thank you, Janet and Teresa, for having me on your show. This is such an honor. I love what you are doing. It's so important in the world today. Okay, let's see.
Well, I know you came through a difficult era where you had a choice to make, and you deal with that however you want for us.
Okay, well, you know, I'll sum up 67 years in a few minutes, right?
Perfect. Perfect.
I think the thing... The thing that's let me just give you the essence of me. I would say that I am a combination of Pioneer Stock and Nancy Drew. I grew up in the 50s in Kodiak, Alaska, before it was even a state. So, and that's how my father was. They all came from Texas. I came from Pioneer Stock. They settled Texas. So that's a big part of who I am. Is I like being out there trying new things. The Nancy Drew part, she was my favorite author when I was a girl. And I just thought I was Nancy Drew. I'm curious. I love solving problems. I love figuring things out. So I think that sums me up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of clown. Actually, a lot of clown sometimes. but the difficult thing, well, there have been, you know, in all those years, of course, some difficulties. But I think the main thing is that I entered into a career in business out of, I got married in the 60s, early 60s, while I was still in college, to a fellow that was a Marine Corps lieutenant who went to Vietnam. And we wrote letters. I'm just thinking about all the letters. We wrote so many letters that year. And they were amazing letters. We had them for a number of years, and then unfortunately in one of our moves, the whole shipment was ransacked. And
what made them amazing letters? I'd like to hear you say that.
Well, I think it was partly, you know, we had a whirlwind courtship. We met on St. Patrick's Day and married on May 9th, and then he went overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was getting to know each other in letters.
Oh.
And then the other thing, of course, that was so incredible was he was there as an advisor before they brought all the troops into Vietnam. He was up on a hill in Hue with a group of Vietnamese. And just his descriptions of what was going on over there and just the sharing. And then, of course, we were pouring out our love to each other because it had been, you know, so whirlwind. And then here we are in letters. So they were quite amazing.
You know, that kind of shows the historical and personal importance of letters. I mean, if you had those letters now, it would be an important piece of history, American history.
Well, you're absolutely right, and it's such a shame they were lost,
mm-hmm.
because
I
do think that's what we've lost in not writing, not just love letters, but letters.
Yes. So go ahead. So how did you proceed from there personally?
Okay. Well, what happened was, you know, in the early 60s, I had a degree in English, and I was a woman, so pretty much the jobs available were secretarial. So I helped support us with secretarial jobs, and then he got out of the Marine Corps and went to Harvard Law School, where I had another secretarial job. And I was,
mm-hmm.
this was right around, you know, Betty Friedan's book came out in 63. So this is when all the stirrings.
The Feminine Mystique?
Yeah, Feminine Mystique. So that's when the stirrings were there for all of us about, gee, what are we really doing, you know? And so I quit my secretarial job when we went to New York for the summer. He had a law clerking job down there. And when we came back, I stumbled on an ad for someone to write user manuals for a computer software firm. Managed to bluff my way into that job, and that was the beginning of a 20-year career that mostly with technological firms, moving up through the ranks in the computer business, but then moving into consulting and being involved mostly with helping organizations and people navigate the stormy.
If you wrote user manuals for that industry, then you have it in you in some basic level to be explaining to people how to do things.
Well,
I mean, you've taken a talent and just kind of moved it over in a way.
You're right, Janet, and I feel very fortunate for those years because I learned I learned about how to make things simple. That's why I say a well-told tale, you know.
And getting to the point and making things clear. So I want to know how your cat, Pooh, got into the picture and guided you.
Well, okay, that happened after that 20 years. This was in the early 90s. I was in for a big change myself. I came down with chronic fatigue syndrome, which at that time no one knew what that was. This was before they figured it out. So I was pretty much stopped cold, you know, had to leave my career, my active friends, pretty much my whole life. And so Pooh came into the picture, Pooh Bear de Gunakun, a giant, beautiful Maine Coon. We got him, my husband then, Michael, and I got him when I got sick to kind of be a companion for me.
Oh, okay.
So he was always around, and then after a couple of years, I was getting a little better, and then what happened was my mom had Alzheimer's, and she hit that stage where, you know, she was lost to us. She didn't know us anymore. At the same time that I hit menopause full on, and, you know, I'd lost my career. I went into a suicidal depression, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find a way out. And that was the beginning. I happened to pick up the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, and he was talking about the mind, and he said, the mind's like a flea. It's always hopping about back and forth with no sense to it. And I closed my eyes for a few minutes and watched my mind. Oh, my God, what a scary place. You know, you ought to do that sometimes. It's like, oh, my God, it's chaos in there.
So you say what a scary place, but I read in Choosing to Be, and I want you to tell us your websites in a minute, and we'll talk about your titles. But you were your mind, chaotic and scary as it was, it seems to me that it also retained some rational glory that let you make a choice not to end your depression by suicide.
Janet, that's an interesting twist because I hadn't thought of it that way. See, I think there was some kind of, other force at work that I happened to see that book on the bookshelf that day and take it down and start reading. And then when I did close my eyes and watch my mind and saw, you know, how chaotic it was, what occurred to me was, because I was really ready to kill myself, it occurred to me.
And look for ways to do it.
Right. And, you know, looking for tall buildings to jump off of. And what occurred to me as I watched my mind was, wow, you know, if I'm going to make a decision to kill myself, it's kind of a shame to make it with this kind of mind because as soon as I do it.
Yes, and more than that, by the way, that's so smart because why would you trust somebody in a state like that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of interesting when you think about it.
Yes. Oh, how smart of you to know that you couldn't trust yourself. too dismal to trust.
Right, right.
Oh, gosh.
And that was the beginning, really, of then he talked about Buddha mind. Mm-hmm. And
you're talking about Pooh Bear talking
no,
about
this is that. This was actually the author of the,
oh, the author
book
of the book.
Living
okay.
and Dying.
Yes.
And I got intrigued. I got intrigued with the idea of Buddhism and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning then. That led me to this idea, I don't know where it came from, that I would like to write a book about how I learned about Buddhism and meditation and how Pooh Bear helped me learn to meditate.
I'm so interested in the conversations that you had with this cat, but you said something that just gave me kind of an insight. You said that Michael got you this cat to be your companion when you were feeling so awful.
Right.
So this sweet animal was brought in with a mission from the beginning.
Oh, gosh. You know, I love you. You're giving me such insights as you look
good.
At this from the outside, you know?
Yes, well, you know, it seems like you're saying that so clearly. So this wonderful animal knew that he had some work to do.
Well, I always felt that, and then, you know, there's the kitten, cats and bear that comes in later. I always felt and have ever since that cats and bear and Pooh and I were together for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the reason was, first of all, to help me navigate through a number of difficult circumstances so that I could be here talking to you today, and then also the book choosing to be to help other people.
Now, how did you decide that you could actually talk in words to Pooh?
You know, it just kind of happens. I was listening to an interview that J.K. Rowling had with Oprah, and it fascinated me because she lived in a magical world, you know, with Harry Potter. And it's kind of like I was in a magical world, you know. He would be there, and these conversations would just come into my head.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually didn't really talk out loud in English.
Right.
Big surprise.
But you heard something, and I want to guess that, you know, we hear so much about people talking to the animals they love, and in such a satisfactory way with some real results. We've talked to many people who
uh-huh.
do that, and I'm wondering if somehow the magic isn't that these animals, even though they don't speak English, listen with total intelligence and attentiveness to you.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think,
and that maybe that releases you to give the answer you know is right in their voice. I don't know.
Well, I think they do. I think they bring out our inner wisdom. I guess it depends on the animal. I think of dogs as a little more joyful, but they bring out some inner quality in us.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, with Pooh, that inner quality was this wise self, and
mm-hmm.
and it allowed me to speak in a language and with confidence. It's just as a Zen master would, you know.
Mm-hmm, I see.
So I think it's maybe it's like ventriloquism or something, you know.
Is that like what?
Ventriloquism. That's not a hard word to say.
Yes, yes.
Like having a dummy.
Yes, not such a dummy. Actually,
not
such
yes. a
dummy. And when you talk about cats and dogs, I remember actually a bearded dragon, you know, a bearded lizard that went around to hospitals what do you call it, a pet therapy program.
Oh, yeah.
And people just talk to that little creature. It doesn't matter the creature. I think it's the creature you understand best, maybe.
Oh, I know at my mom's Alzheimer's home, they had rabbits, you know. And
is that right?
And it made such a difference. I mean, it's my animals are, I interviewed on Finding Magic in Midlife a woman named Meg Daly Olmert who wrote a book called Made for Each Other, and it's about the animal-human bond. And
yes, it's exceptional. Do you remember Oliver the cat who went, I don't know if this was, there was attention brought to this nationally, but this was a cat who lived in an old age home.
It's not Oliver, it's Oscar.
Oscar, I was going to say Oscar, and I
thought
it was, okay, Oscar.
Yeah,
Oscar,
I love that book.
Knew who was going to die
yes.
and would go in to that particular room and cuddle up with the person. And some people saw that as kind of macabre, but it gave the family a chance to get there.
I think it's an amazing
book. I mean, the cat wasn't killing him.
Yeah, it's an amazing book, and having
yeah.
had a parent
Oh, I'm
Alzheimer's,
so glad you know about it.
Oh, I would recommend anyone who has a loved one with Alzheimer's read that
Oscar,
book.
Oscar, yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, go ahead about you and Pooh.
Well, you know, the way it evolved was that I wrote the book. I did an outline and wrote some of the chapters and tried to get a publisher. I got an agent back in 93 or 94. got it to the major publishers. But I have to tell you, Janet, you know, in 94, a book about chronic fatigue, nobody knew about that,
mm-hmm.
A talking cat, Buddhism, which nobody cared about, you know.
Yeah.
I was a little before my time.
I was just going to say that, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So it took a number of years to come back to it and finish it, and then I self-published it about 4 years ago.
Oh.
And then a year or so ago, the wonderful Findhorn Press out of Scotland, whose slogan is, "We publish books that make a difference,"
they
picked up the book.
Yes.
So
you're just such a leader and powerhouse in so many ways. I want you to take a minute, if you would, and give us your website address.
Sure. There are two of them, actually.
How about your main one?
Okay. My main one is kattansey.com, kattansey.com.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you can get to the Finding Magic in Midlife.
I see that.
So,
your other websites
are
here.
And then the website for the book, of course, is choosingtobe.com.
Okay. But that's on your navigation.
You can get there. Yeah, you can get
anywhere,
there from either place.
Yes. So let me ask you, let's talk about, because we are about love letters, let me ask you, and I can see so many love letters in your life already, but I don't want to be the love letter police, so let me ask you, who gets today's love letter?
I want to write it to Pooh Bear.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a big change going on. I've brought in a new cat now. I'm starting on the next book, and it's kind of bringing up all these memories and feelings about Pooh and Katzenbear. So,
what is it?
Is Pooh still living, or
no? They, Teresa, they're both gone because that was a long time ago. Pooh left in 2005, and Katzenbear in 2008.
That's really interesting because listening to you, it doesn't feel like Pooh Bear has left at all.
Well, he never has, and that's
right.
You know, bringing my new cat Mombasa in has made me realize, because she looks like Pooh,
mm-hmm.
the Maine Coon tabby. Makes me realize how much he's with me. So that's, I think, why I want to write the letter.
Well, what is it you want to tell? Let's plan this out, because I know you haven't written it yet, and we're in the planning stages. What is it? The question we always ask is, what is it you want to say to Pooh?
I want to tell him how much our time together meant to me, and how much
mm-hmm.
his love and his support just gave me courage during some very tough times.
I'm so glad to hear you say that particular thing, because we talk about a love letter being about the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the what I did and what my summer was like, and it's about the other guy. And certainly you can talk about yourself and should if it's in light of what the other guy brings to you.
Right.
So
right.
You're saying that you felt a certain way around,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because of him.
Yeah, I really wanted to write about what he brought to my life, you know, and a feeling of confidence and just a belief in myself.
Oh, good.
You know,
so you felt stronger and safer.
I felt stronger and safer because of him during some really tough times, and so I really wanted to let him know that, and also I wanted to tell him about how much what he's done, what we did together, is meaning now to so many other people.
That his reach has been really far.
His reach has been far. I'm sitting here with this book with his picture on the cover, and now it's all over the world, you know?
Oh, that is wonderful, and he should know that. He should know that. And, you know, writing to anybody or any creature who is gone is the very thought of wanting to catch that person or that being up with our lives. You
right.
know, I know you've been gone a while, but here's what's been happening.
Yeah, I feel like
it's such a generous thing.
Well, I feel like, you know, he is always with me, and I know that he's there, but it just feels like I need to really tell him how much he means. And I think part of it's coming up because now I'm kind of moving into this next book with Mombasa, and I feel like I really want to honor.
Well, let me ask you something else, because there are a couple of other things to talk about in a really great love letter.
Okay, and I want to do a great love letter.
I know you'd, and how could you help but do a great love letter being you? What about the other person's physical qualities? That's so important. Every creature likes to know he's attractive.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
What about what he looked like?
That's so
interesting. And what he smelled like, and what he felt like when you ran your hands through them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole journey, running your hands through a bunch of fur to get to the
Oh, and you know, Janet, that is one of the biggest things. I mean, I know he's still with me, but I miss so much his physical presence, you know.
Okay, so wouldn't it be nice to talk about his physical presence? What did his eyes look like? What did he sound like? What was the quality of his voice?
Wow.
You know?
You know, so many of these things I wrote about in the book because, you know, I went into detail for the story. But I hadn't thought of it. I mean, I went into detail for the story for the reader, but I had not thought about sharing with him. I mean, he just was so amazing.
And that's such a key word, detail.
Yeah.
And cats are so playful. What did he do that was funny?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the things he did with Katzenberg. I mean, and when he was young.
Specific details make
okay,
it
beautiful. Okay, quick story. When he was young, I mean, he was just a kitten. My husband, Michael, at that time was a sculptor, and he sculpted giant flowers out of styrofoam. And the byproduct of all of that was this giant, giant box. I mean, it was as big as a small room.
Oh,
filled
dear, I can see.
Like small pieces of styrofoam. And so we used to throw out a piece of styrofoam, and Pooh Bear would chase it, and he could find that one piece everywhere among everything else. And then sometimes he would just jump into that whole big box and disappear and swim in it.
Oh, yes, that's what I was waiting for you to describe. I could see that coming.
Yeah,
well, okay,
yeah.
So anything that makes you laugh and smile,
okay.
Let me say, as a hint, if it's a memory that's making you laugh and smile, it's worth recalling to him.
Okay.
On paper. And it's sometimes a good idea to just give yourself a day or so to write down every memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll choose what you want to include, and maybe this won't be your only letter to Pooh Bear.
Oh, I love
maybe
that.
Maybe you'll write twice a year, once a year, whatever you decide to do.
Right.
So what kind of stationery will you use? Because, you know, stationery and envelope, that's the gift wrap.
Hmm. Well, Pooh Bear had this quirk that he used to love to lick the covers of paperback books.
Oh.
So my sense is something that's kind of has a sheen to it.
Yes.
You know, he seemed to go for a sheen.
Perfect. Okay, so that answers, I think, a really important detail for writing a good love letter is the stationery. You have a couple of choices. It can be something that represents you or something that represents the other person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter. In either case, it's kind of an important statement.
Right.
To whom will you mail this letter?
Oh, well, okay. I don't know because...
there are so many possibilities.
Okay.
There is Mombasa.
Mombasa?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I like that. I like writing a letter to somebody who's gone and mailing it to somebody who's here. Dear Pooh Bear Dragoonicon, the coon,
uh-huh.
I'm writing this letter to you, but I'm going to send it to Mombasa.
Wow. Okay.
And then just, I mean, it's just a possibility.
Well, it's an idea. I mean, how would I send it to her, though? I mean, she doesn't.
So Mombasa lives with you, right?
Yeah. Oh, you mean just send it to this address? Address
to Mombasa. To Mombasa's home address, of course. And then maybe when you get it, you'll open it to Mombasa and read it out loud to him.
I love this because it honors Pooh, and it also, and she, it's a her, by the way, this time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good. And it also helps me communicate with her. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like sitting around in those old-time circles and telling the stories of your ancestors.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And it brings, of course, it brings all of you together into the same family, which you are anyway.
Right.
But I'm wondering also something, because letters found are solid gold. When a letter is found 50 years later, I mean, we have letters, we have copies of letters, Teresa and I do, in our stash of wonderful treasures, that are 100 years old,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they are as good as the day they're written. We have things signed by Marie Antoinette and Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
Whereas you can't play your floppy disks.
Yeah, yeah.
So those letters last for so much longer, and whoever finds them is going to find a treasure.
Hmm.
And maybe somebody will find it in 50 or 100 years who didn't know you and will go look up and see who, you know, it's just a door to magic land.
Well, you know, it's like all those letters that Fred and I lost. I had them in a really special box. And I
right.
love what you're saying because that, you know, I'm seeing with what you're teaching me and bringing back to me is that I want to start doing this
good
a lot.
There's so much to say. And by the way, I want to invite you to come back and do another presentation with us because I personally can see four other love letters that would be so important for you to write to people who have been along your way?
I would just adore doing that, Janet.
Okay.
As a writer, and
also
it's just, this is an amazing process. I really, really value the instruction you're giving me.
We love it. We're having, Teresa and I just have the best time with it. So let me ask you also, where will you put this letter once you read it to Mombasa so that somebody does find it in 50 years?
Well, I'm going to create a beautiful new letter box
now
and put it in there and just have it with my things. I think one of the things I'd love is if for my nieces to see this.
I was going to
ask you that.
So
I'm thinking in my will that I will put in that I want that box to go to
them. Perfect.
Yeah. You know.
Well, that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
That's just wonderful. Okay. And in your handwriting.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when we cleaned out my parents' house after they died, I found amazing. First of all, I found all my letters to them that I wrote in the 60s and 70s that they had kept. But then I also found letters that they had written, letters back and forth from my mom, my dad to his mom, during the, 1941 in...
World War II.
World War II, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It's just, the stuff you find is just...
Do you know something? It's the thing that the historians get most excited about. I talked to somebody recently who was so intrigued with this because the concern is that historians in the future will not have enough by which to understand how we lived.
Hmm.
They'll have political speeches, and they'll have YouTube, and they'll have... You know, other short methods where people communicate but don't really say so much.
You know where I think they'll find it is in the blogs. And
well, it could, that could be.
You know, because
you know,
I think in the blogs that people
about.
Are writing, that often people are writing,
mm-hmm.
some of the things they write are almost like, are they're like love letters.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, there's something about handwriting.
I know.
You,
that's
see, you see something in the paper, and Donna Reed's letters were found, and Jackie Robinson's letters were found, recently there was an urn found in somewhere in ancient, you know, dug up in Israel. And in every case, even with this urn, the headline was in handwriting, in the scribe's own text. You know?
Well, it carries, you know, to me, I think what it is it carries the energy of the person.
Yes, it does. You're so smart because you've touched it. You know, an email has never felt the touch of your hand. Where's the proof you were there?
Right, and also just the act of writing. Our handwriting is so much a part of who we are.
Yes, okay, so we have a lot more to talk about. I'm so sorry to say we're out of time, but will we see you again shortly?
Oh, boy, you can't keep me away.
Okay, thank you. And I'm wondering if Mombasa would like to write a letter back to Pooh.
I will ask her.
Oh, good. Okay, I'd like to know. All right, dear, thank you so much for what you've taught us.
Thank you.
Thank you again, and thanks to all of our listeners. We hope you'll tune in every week at this time. And in the meantime, we urge you to put your loving thoughts into words. Send them while you still have the chance.
Yes, and if you think, please remember, if you think you need a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is that special occasion.
So till next time, this is Teresa.
And Janet.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye.